Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 9. I want you to look with me for just a moment at this scripture that we call the Lord's Prayer. Jesus told His disciples, they asked Him, when they asked Him, "Lord, teach us to pray." When they asked that question, it immediately makes me think that they saw something that took Jesus and related it to what He was doing. What I'm saying is they saw Jesus pray and these things begin to happen. And amazingly enough, and I've heard you say, and I'll say it again, they didn't ask Jesus to teach them how to raise the dead or serve 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They went back to what I believe they saw as the very basis, the most fundamental thing, and that is Jesus praying. And so they ask Him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And Jesus said, "When you pray, pray like this." And He gives us this outline of prayer, and this is what it is. It's an outline by which we can follow and see how it is that we are to pray. "Our Father in heaven, holy is Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Let Your will be done on earth just like it's done in heaven. Those 22 words, I truly believe, are the keys to an effective church in the days that we live in today. That we are showing the world what is the will of God in this day. I enjoy this. Hello. No? Yes. Hello. No more comments. We are, Paul wrote to Timothy, said, we are the pillar and the foundation of truth in this world, the church. The world needs to know what is the will of God in this day. And Jesus makes a comment in just the next few words that I had not really paid attention to until I started studying this. "Give us this day." You realize there are things that you do every single day. You get up, you stay up, you eat, you get up and go to the Walmart, or you go to the post office. There's things that you do every day. You do this daily. When I read that, "Give us our daily," or our bread today, Jesus is telling us some things we need to do every day. We need to ask Him to supply our need. We need to ask Him to forgive us as we forgive those who have hurt us. We need to ask Him every day, "Keep me from the evil one." And every day we need to pray, Your will be done on this earth where I live, in my relationships, in my home, on my job. Let your will be done just like it is in heaven. Now we stop and we see some things. One, there is a kingdom that has a king. There is the kingdom of heaven. There is the kingdom of God. Watch closely now, because I believe that here's where some confusion comes. They are the same thing. The kingdom is the same thing, but we're seeing it in duplicate now, or we're seeing it as separate now. It's because the kingdom of God is in the here and the not yet. It's in the now and in the future. We need, as a body of Christ, to get away from the thinking that the kingdom of God is something that's coming someday, and I'm going to be raptured up to be in that kingdom. Because when we think like that, we find ourselves in our little corner of the world saying to ourselves, some glad morning when this life is o'er. But until then, I just don't have to do nothing. I just sitting wait to go to heaven. The Lord told us something. You go. And as you go, you make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all that I have taught you. What is this will of God? It's an interesting word. I looked it up. That's what you do. That's what preachers say when they... I looked it up. I studied it. No. The will is what one wishes or has determined shall be done. Of the purpose of God to bless mankind through Christ. Of what God wishes to be done by us. Commands, precepts, will, choice, inclination, desire, pleasure. Your will be done on this earth like it is in heaven. Now, this is where it gets dicey, because every church will say that, amen, that's the Lord's prayer. That's what He wants. But when you actually get into the place of saying, well, what is God's will in heaven? His will is done in perfect obedience there. And it needs to be that way on this earth. Hold your breath. There is no cancer in heaven. There are no tears in heaven. There is no death in heaven. There is no suffering in heaven. There is no diabetes in heaven. There is no heart disease in heaven. There is no bad breath in heaven. So what is this prayer? Your will be done on earth. Then why do we give over to its cancer? It's my cross to bear. It's the will of God for my life. What is the kingdom of heaven? It's God's blasting into this world in the form of Jesus Christ to show us what God the Father is like. He says, let me show you what God the Father is like, leper. Come here. Let me hold you. Let me pick you up. Let me show you what God is like. You crippled for 38 years. Get up, take up your bed and walk. Roll the stone away. Let me show you what my Father's like. Lazarus, come forth. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When I read that, I begin to question, am I truly doing the will of God? Well, I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't go with girls that do. You are never going to catch me in a theater. I will never ever dance. No beer will ever cross my lips. I've never had a cigarette in my mouth. Is that the will of God? Well, in a maybe a little minute portion. But we've made that everything. And what Jesus come to show us, we've relegated it to another time and another place. Theologians, because they've been to the cemetery and they know. That was for back then. But now we have the Bible and we don't need any of that other stuff. We do have the Bible. Amen? And that Bible, when I read it, says, lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. Cast out demons, raise the dead. That part's got to go out because that belonged to another time.
Thank you. That's another day's gospel. That's not today's. God help us, is right. We've taken and made of none effect the Word of God, and instead we have taught the precepts of men.
God comes into this earth to assert His will on this earth. He sends Jesus into this world to assert His will on this earth. Jesus comes into a place they have lost the love of God and they have replaced His law with the law of teaching. Read Mark chapter 7. Jesus castigates them from verse 1 all the way through. Well hath Isaiah said, you have left my precepts and taught the doctrines of men. So Jesus comes to straighten us out. And in Matthew 25, 27 times, Jesus talks about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not a theocracy. It's not a political kingdom. We're trying very hard to make it that way. We are trying very hard to teach the world that all the saints of heaven are Republicans. We are trying to tell the world that all the angel hosts are life members of the NRA. God's not telling us that. Jew coming out of Egypt gets a law, and Jew realizes God is king on this earth. When you read Jewish prayers, one of the most common addresses that you will hear of God is, you are God, King of heaven, the Melech Hashemayim. You are God, King of heaven. And they got the theocracy and they blew it. And Jesus had to come and tell us, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. And He reinforces it by saying, every day your will be done on this earth, even as it is in heaven. It's not a political theocracy. It is God breaking into the world in a supernatural way to show us in supernatural ways His desire for the people that call Him Father. Wayne taught this morning from the book of Psalms of chapter 25, verse 14, that the secret of the Lord is with those that fear Him. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things that He has revealed belong to us. So we need to go looking for what God has revealed. And you know what God has revealed? Mark chapter 16. These signs will follow them that believe. In My name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They will heal the sick and raise the dead. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. This is what My kingdom looks like. So it makes a whole lot of sense to me why God said, now, I've come into this world to raise havoc with the kingdom of the enemy. I have come to this earth to show you what little power He has, but what great power I have. Yeah, the devil can cause leprosy to come on a man, but I can heal that man. Yes, death can come to a person, but I can raise that man from the dead. And then Jesus says the craziest thing. These signs will follow them that believe. Matthew 4:23. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the kingdom of God, preaching the good news, and healing their sick and casting out devils. I want to say this morning that a gospel that does not have the miraculous right here with it is not the gospel. It's clapping with one hand. The gospel of what Jesus Christ did on the cross and the miracles that go along with the gospel become praise to the Most High God. That's the kingdom of God on this earth. There is a king on this earth. The world doesn't want to believe that. Susan was talking about when they got the idea of putting the signs out in the Jesus is Lord over Salida, how the Lutheran pastor said, it's not true. Jesus is not Lord over Salida. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. What He's waiting for is for people like you and me to show Salida that Jesus Christ is Lord. The world will never know that He is Lord without the church. And this is our job in the last days. Matthew chapter 25. Jesus tells a parable. He said a man went away into a far country and he brought in all his servants. 10 of them, I think there was. Or a bunch of them. And he gave them money. To one he gave 10, to one he gave 5, to one he gave 2 or 1, whatever it was. I don't know the numbers exactly. But when he came back, he called them and he said, now show me what you did with the money I gave you. Your 10 has earned 10 more. There's 20. Jesus said, you be king. You be ruler over 10 cities. Your 5 got 5 more. You be ruler over 5 cities. Well, Lord, I went out and put yours in the ground because I know you are hard and you reap where you don't sow. So I was scared. I just put mine away. And Jesus condemned him with a condemnation that when I look at it, I say, wow, was that really worth it? God, Christ, you must really be telling us that God is very serious about this. And I think it's interesting that he said, I gave you 10, you earned 10 more, 20. Now you be ruler over 10 cities. By doing what I tell you to do, I'm going to bring you up to a place of rulership. Now, hang with me because this gets to be sometimes, but that's what he's telling us. You take what I gave you, you do what I gave you, and you get again as much as I gave you. Now I'm going to make you to be ruler over something. Someone that knows the power of God to heal has no fear of disease. He who knows that God can heal by the laying on of hands has no fear of disease. I get blown away, absolutely blown away at the power of prayer in people's lives. It's incredible. It's just, it's absolutely awesome. Had a couple of things happened to me Friday. He went down to the doctor so he could tell me I'm healthy as a horse again. We went to eat in the buffet, and I went up to get dessert, and this little guy went up alongside me. He's about 8-9 years old, and he reaches over and he comes to the place where the chocolate pudding is in a cup, and he looked at it and he says, oh, thank you, God. And he picked it up and he says, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And he walks off, and I went behind him and said, excuse me, I wanted that. And the little guy turned around and he said, you can have it. I went over and told his mom and dad, I said, you got a great kid here. And that's just absolutely that young. He realized that. But I was in the pharmacy that afternoon, and I was sitting there, and I was reading on my phone, and I just happened to look up, and this lady sitting over there, she's a black lady. She's probably in her 50s. She's got oxygen on. She's breathing hard, but she has this look on her face that's a hard look. It's a look that is, it's not a happy look. And I went over, and I sat down, and I said, ma'am, you don't know me. I said, you look like you're sad. I says, could I pray for you? And she says, well, I'm doing pretty good. I said, would you mind if I prayed for you? She says, no, go ahead and pray. I prayed for her. And when I was done, I was telling my wife, it always gets me. I looked at her and the tears were running out of her eyes. I don't need anything. But if you're willing to come along and believe that God wants to do something for me by praying for me, I'll take it. I'll take it. Has anybody ever prayed for anyone that didn't say, or they said, no, don't you dare. Don't you touch me. You foul mouth, crazy individual. Go away from me. I'm going to be sick. I love it. Has that ever happened to anybody? It hasn't happened to me yet. I've never had anyone say, no, don't pray for me. Pray for me. I had a couple that one time I thought, maybe I ought not. The guy might punch me. I was walking down, again in a restaurant, walking down the chow line, and I walked past this lady, and death is all over her. It's just, there's a look. Nurses and doctors call it, they're cachectic. They look like death. And she went and she sat down, and I came and sat down with Joe, and I couldn't sit there. I went over to where she was at, and I knelt down by the table, and I told her, I says, again, I said, you don't know me. I said, but you've got cancer, don't you? And the husband says, yes, she does, but we're taking care of it. I said, I'd like to pray for that. No, we're taking care of that.
I said, all I can do is just say a quick prayer because I believe God still heals cancer. And finally, she says, you go ahead and pray for me. We prayed for her. And I turned around and I looked at the husband. And he's the one that's teary-eyed now. And he tells me, he says, thank you so much. Because it's nothing that I'm doing. Nothing at all. It's the idea God wants to do something for you. God, yes, you've got cancer. Yes, that's what the doctors have said. But Jesus said, lay hands on the sick and heal them. I use the term there, prayer, because it's probably better to pray. Say, I'm going to pray for your wife rather than I'm going to lay my hands on your wife. Okay? Might keep your eyes a pretty color of blue. All right? I'm trying to say this. The kingdom of God has slammed into this world. And I believe that all the blackness that we are seeing today is because the kingdom of God is getting brighter and brighter. The devil has been assaulted and he is in full counterattack mode. He's got the church going backwards, so you keep going backwards. Keep driving them backwards. Any of you ever been in a bar fight, you know exactly what I mean. Once they get going backwards, don't let them up. And the devil has done that to the church by hiding the facts that Christ came into this world to show us how to raise Cain with the devil. When you go to the jewelry store and you see a ring that you like or she likes and you got to look at it, the jeweler will take the ring out of the case and he puts black velvet on the counter so that ring can sparkle against the black. It brings out the light. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? The world that we live in is like black velvet. But the church of the living God is becoming brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. There is a mission to do. There is a thing that needs to happen. And Jesus showed us how to do it. What about the armor of God? That's, we don't have, you know, that's just, what about the armor of God? It says if we wear that, then we'll always stand. We can stand if you want to, but Jesus said, no, there's more to do than stand there. Paul uses a word which means, when he says to stand, it means to be strong. Take on the whole armor of God that you may be strong in that day. He gave us a sword for a reason. The Word of God. Well, what does the Word of God say? Well, it says this. No, they tore that page out. They tore that verse out. That one, it doesn't really say that. It says this. No, it don't. That Word of God that you hold in your hands is His infallible Word. It to read it in its entirety, not to throw out bits and pieces. We don't need that. We need to know the entire mind of God. We need to know the entire counsel of God. We need to have that put into our heart that we know what God said. And when God said, He meant it. And if He had not meant it, He wouldn't have said it so somebody could tear it out of the Bible. Heal the sick, raise the dead. Cast out demons. Matthew's gospel tells us in Matthew chapter 11 he tells the people that from
the time of John until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. There's a message in there for you and I. The kingdom of God is a forceful kingdom. And forceful people take hold of that forceful word to enlarge the kingdom. We're not, according to the scripture, we are supposed to be violently forceful about seeing the kingdom of God come to fruition on this earth. We need to see the kingdom of God in our life. There is nothing that is more incredible to me. There's nothing more incredible. Every one of us should be doing this. When someone is sick at home, you go find the olive oil or the Wesson oil or the 10W30, whatever you got. And you pray for them and you anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And you say the prayer of faith heals the sick. Be healed in the name of Jesus. My wife, I don't know if she even knew what she did. But there was two or three nights ago, I went to bed after she did. And I laid there and the back has got these little going up and down. Feels like my shoulder blades are slapping together. It hurts so bad. She was sleeping. I laid there and she just rolled over and she laid her hands on me. The slapping stopped. It quit. Why? Because I believe that when she raised her hand and touched me, she prayed, heal my husband. I've asked God so many times to heal my wife. I've got to the place I quit asking. And I just tell Him, God, my wife is healed in the name of Jesus Christ. It's not on anything that I do. When we pray for people, it is, I use that terminology because it's just so familiar. When we lay hands on people for healing, we are doing absolutely nothing in ourselves. Nothing in ourselves. When we are willing to stretch out our hand and say, be healed, what we're doing is we are acting in faith on the Word of God. That which is not of faith is a sin. And we put our faith in what God said. Lay hands on the sick. You said it, I'll do it. And we see results. The kingdom of God has come on this earth. And He's challenging every one of us to walk in that kingdom power. There's coming a day when He's coming back. You know, the Holy Spirit was speaking to Larry a little while ago. I know Larry tell you the same thing. You can feel it when it's the Spirit of God saying, have you been away from God? God's desire is to be with you. Let me tell you, God's desire is to be with you. When they were wandering in the desert, God said, make me a tabernacle. And when they dedicated that tabernacle, the presence of God came down. And they could see, the priest could see the presence of God. The Jewish teachers will tell you there was a little blue light that sat between the angel's wings that sat over the mercy seat. That God was with His people. The last chapters in the book of Revelation. John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And an angel cried out with a loud voice saying, God will be with His people. And He shall be their God. And they shall be His people. God's plan, God's desire is to be with His people. And to show the world that He is God through His people. I can't argue Greek theological terms. I can't, they get, words that are just, you know, the feminine, personal, omnipotent participle of whatever it is. I don't get that. I really don't understand that part of language. I do understand this. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Tiny, heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Casey, heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. God help us to understand. We were redeemed by violence. Sometimes we don't like to think of these things in that term. We like to think of the love that held Jesus to that cross. Let me tell you, Jesus died a violent death. They violently spit on Him and slapped His face. They violently crammed the crown of thorns over His head. With violence they nailed His hands and His feet to that cross. In violence they thrust a spear into His side. It was violence. And now God is telling us something. If you're sick of sin in your life, how it's laid waste to your life, then war has got to be declared. Violence has got to start. I'm going to violently go after this kingdom of God. I'm going to forcefully wage war against the powers that be through the kingdom of God. This is a violent message. The salvation of our family, our friends, our neighbors, is dependent on how violently we want to act toward the kingdom of darkness. Somebody said it's called storming the gates of hell. We're in a violent battle for the souls of men. I go back to something that I saw in one of our videos not long ago. Is my life, as I live it, is it worth His dying? Is the life that I live now, in the manner that I live it, is it worth His dying? Is there any way that He can make my life worth His dying? Yes, yes, amen, and yes. Change your life in an absolute moment. Give to you. And it's part of why the Holy Ghost came. So that you might be my witness, that you might be my martyros, you'd be my martyrs in your bold witness for me. How do we do that? You knock on doors if you want. But when you see somebody sick, lay hands on them. When you see somebody possessed, lay hands on them. Walk in what Jesus gave us to use this gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news is not that you're going to heaven. The good news is that you're going to heaven and you can be healed. The kingdom of heaven, the here and the not yet. The now and pretty soon, one day those two are coming together. And God will be with His people. And He shall be our God. Father, I thank You this morning. You didn't leave us helpless. You didn't leave us as orphans. You gave to us a message and a method. You gave to us the good news and good deeds. You gave us a miraculous life, a miraculous new life And you gave us the miraculous to show the world the way to a new life. Father, this morning, my prayer above all else is that we, as the church of the living God, that we would become convinced that what you have given to us demonstrates who Jesus is. Lord, you see a world that is so turned off by Christianity. Lord, would you turn us on so that people see Christ? They're so turned off by church. Would you allow us to walk now in the way that would make the living body of the church become real to the world? That you would show your way, your life, your goodness, your grace. In Jesus' name. I want to ask you here this morning, all of us who will, if you're willing to say, God, in my life from here on, I'm going to become fierce in my chase after you. I will become violent with the kingdom of darkness as I seek the kingdom of light. The devil that came to rob, kill, and steal, would you allow me to be part of your plan to restore, to heal, to raise from the death that God, that the devil would put on us? If you're here and you believe that, would you just say within your heart to God, he's talking about me, and this is the way I want to be, and from here on out, I'm going to be forceful about this kingdom of Christ. If you're here this morning and you're sick in your body, you need healing, I want you to come before you ever go out the door. We're going to lay hands on you and let God do for you what He needs to do for you.